Welcome to a Thrifted Pair podcast, where we talk about all things related to reselling and give a snapshot each week into our business through our numbers. We are your hosts. I'm Ken.
And I'm Eric.
And we are the owners of Little Elm Goods. We sell on Poshmark, eBay, and Mercari under the name Little Elm Goods. You can find the links to all of our stores in the show notes.
Also, feel free to add us and talk to us directly on Instagram. You can find me at Little Elm Thrifts.
And I'm Little Elm Goods. This is episode 6, Managing the Risks of Reselling and Value Investing. Last week, we talked about how to dream big and set goals as a reseller. And this week, we wanted to talk about how we think through the various risks that come into the reselling business and how we manage them and try to mitigate them as best as we can. This podcast normally comes out Saturday night or early Sunday morning, but it had to be pushed back this weekend because we were prepping and starting to sort through a big bulk order that we got on Saturday right around noon. We were just about to head over to the post office to drop off our Saturday sales, and the UPS guy showed up with all these boxes, which we just ended up putting in our garage. You know, sorting through all that yesterday made it impossible for us to put out a podcast at our regular schedule, but we figured we would just move it a little bit and talk about how we handle bulk buying.
So we thought we'd just elaborate a bit on the process that we've been going through, working through all these shoes.
So I hesitate to use the word wholesale because that's really not what I consider we're doing. You know, we made a connection with another reseller. This was 3 months ago, maybe, where we were looking to buy 100 pairs from him. And when that first batch came in, we were pretty happy with what we got. And so we started talking with him about maybe picking up more pairs from him. And he said that he would be interested in that because, you know, for him, it's a lot less work and a lot less hassle to just sell to us than to try to go through shoes and clean them and sell them. So we sort of went through this process where we would buy small quantities from him to make sure that we were happy with the quality we were getting.
Until we decided to bite the bullet and go ahead and get 500 pairs from him.
So that was the last order that we did with him, was 500 pairs, which was a huge buy for us. And we were, you know, pretty happy with that. So we went ahead and picked up another 300 pairs. So we have this relationship now where we are confidently picking up, you know, healthy amounts from him every month. And we hope that we can keep building on this relationship and really start expanding our business to the next level.
A lot of the shoes are just bread and butter type things. Nothing's mind blowing, but they're all brands that we've sold in the past for the most part.
There were shoe brands in there that we wouldn't normally pick up, like Fila and Skechers and, you know, like really small niche or unknown brands that we just had never run into here in Texas. Not that I'm saying Fila and Skechers are unknown to us. It's just that we did not think they were worth picking up at the time. But since they showed up in these bulk buys, we just started doing the research on the pairs that we had. We realized that they weren't bad and we ended up including them in our sourcing rotation. You know, since we realized, hey, there are more brands than the 10 or so that we really like, and we should start looking for specific types of shoes in these brands.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that we would go into a thrift and completely ignore everything that was there, but we definitely knew, okay, these are the things that we're familiar with, so let's scan those areas quickly, get the things that we want, and then, you know, maybe we'd find some time to explore, but our strategy has always been to go to many thrift stores rather than a few.
For instance, with Skechers, we actually used to buy and still do buy a lot of those shape-ups. Like, those have always sold really well for us. So when we ran into them, we would pick them up. But most other Skechers shoes, we just never really looked into it because we thought that the value really wasn't there. And that's something that I consider a blind spot for us. And it was based on pretty much an unsupported bias that we had towards, you know, brands like Fila and Skechers. So we're actually going out of our way to spend more time learning those brands now that we realized, oh, okay, these are actually pretty decent selling brands and we should try and include them because that just means we get more pairs every week.
Even if some of them are hideous Nike ripoffs.
So, you know, overall, the way we think about buying these shoes in bulk, even if they're not, you know, all Nike or Adidas or something that sells like for a really high price, it's the equivalent of going sourcing six times for us. And that has its own value where we can take that time that we would have spent sourcing and instead use it to list. And that helps us grow in a very different way. And it's something that we want to keep doing. It's not that we're ever going to stop sourcing locally, but there is value in doing both.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely pros and cons to be had. It's a lot to handle on your own. That's all I'm going to say, because I feel a little overwhelmed at times trying to process, you know, massive amounts of inventory solo.
Right, because on average, we'll get anywhere from 50 to 75 pairs a week. And that's something that we can handle pretty easily. It becomes a challenge when we start going to 200, 300, 400 pairs coming in all at once. And you don't want them to just sit there. So you try to get everything processed quickly without making mistakes.
It's about finding the balance. So for this latest pickup that we did, I figured that we would talk about our numbers and kind of run you guys through the process that we go through. So the buy cost of the shoes were around $10 a pair. So that means that we put in around $3,000, and that's a pretty big risk as far as we're concerned. But we managed that risk by starting with smaller buys to make sure that we were happy with the brands and quality of the shoe that we were receiving.
From our previous experience buying 500 pairs, we felt pretty safe to say that at worst, 10% of the shoes that came in would not be worth listing. Now, that's a very conservative amount of like unlistable shoes. It's actually closer to 3 to 5% at worst, but I always like to double the safety factor so that we make sure that even in the worst case scenario, we're going to at least make our initial investment and definitely make profits on it. The idea of including these types of waste factors, as I like to call them, is something that we deal with a lot in construction. And it usually comes up where a general contractor will ask me to price out a certain addition that they want to add. Like onto a building, they'll say, hey, you guys are done with all the original work we asked you to, but we want to do a soffit over on the bridge. How much would that cost? And whatever the price I come up with, I'll usually add 15 to 20% just to make sure that we have a safety factor built in so that if anything goes wrong, you know, if the material costs more than we expected, or if the guys end up making some mistake where some panels have to be replaced or something gets scratched, we have that extra money in there to cover any of the issues. Because when you're coordinating so many people and so much material, you can't expect everyone to be perfect. So you just build in that waste factor to make sure that everyone's butt is covered. So with the waste factor in mind, we can assume that out of the 300 pairs that we picked up, 30 will just be not listable. So with the remaining 270 pairs, we can assume an average sales price of $35. Because if you look at our historical sales price, it's around $35. You know, our week-to-week sales price is actually higher. It's closer to $45, but I never assumed that price. I prefer to go lower again because it adds that safety factor so that you have more of a safety net in case they don't sell that high. So on this bulk buy of 300 pairs, if you multiplied the 270 by the $35 a pair, you would get right around $9,500 in total sales. And after you take the 20% platform fee for Poshmark, which is again the worst case scenario where we just assume everything would sell on Poshmark, not the 13% on eBay or the 10% on Mercari, we would be looking at making right around $7,600. And then if you take out the $3,000 in the cost of goods, we would have a profit that was right around $4,500, which is our net profit. That would put us right at 150% profit on the original investment of $3,000. So, you know, we have a lot of room for any issues that might come up with any of the shoes. And that lets us confidently put down large amounts of money like this because we know that our numbers make sense. Otherwise, we wouldn't be dropping multiple thousands every month to grow at this rate. When we talk about buying pairs, whether it's sourcing locally at our thrifts or doing one of these bulk buys, we always talk about the risks that are involved, and how that fits into our overall views in value investing, which is where we as resellers in this community are looking for items that are undervalued by the general public and that are undervalued by the people and places that sell them. For this reason, we have almost completely avoided getting into the hype shoe game, because to me, it reminds me a lot of what those penny stock and day traders do in the hopes of, you know, flipping an item on a speculated value. I really have no interest in doing that kind of speculative trading. I much more prefer picking up pairs that have a certain set of qualities that we are looking for, that we know will generate guaranteed returns that we can track, versus hype shoes where we have no idea what's going to happen to them in the long term.
Another great thing about sourcing locally is that you can eliminate a lot of the risks that are involved by being thorough with your condition checks while you're still at the store. It lets you make sure that there's no issues with the shoe, and if you set a gold standard, then your reputation tends to be that of a quality seller, which in the long term, that's the best thing you can do for yourself. It helps others know that your goods are up to certain par, and it lets them know that they can trust you and that they'll want to buy from you in the future as well. We've had quite a few repeat customers, actually. It's a fun side note.
When it comes to value investing and reselling, the more you work towards lowering your risks, the greater the potential for reward will be in your reselling portfolio. If you're willing to not buy any inventory that doesn't meet your standards for quality, then the only real risk is figuring out the worth of the thrifted items that you're picking up and the value that you believe they have. This is a risk that we all take every time we buy something, with the underlying belief that we know it's worth reselling. And obviously, you can further mitigate the risk by doing additional research on the items. Checking for comps in the store makes sure that it's something that's been sold recently or has enough sales to give you the confidence to say, okay, these items are definitely worth picking up. It's something that the general public are looking for that is currently undervalued locally. This is not something that is an inherent gift that only certain people have. It's something that we can all work on every time we're at the thrifts, and it's something that you can build up, very similar to working out at the gym, and teach yourself to learn what's worth picking up and what isn't. And over time, you will have that strong sense and build up a skill that looks almost seamless to anyone who doesn't have that experience, where you can tell if it's worth researching or not.
You should see some of the looks we get at the thrift store. Now, beyond sourcing locally, you also want to develop a new set of skills to learn how to buy inventory too. As long as there's a margin of safety, or a waste factor as we like to call it, it should be high enough to ensure that your principal investment won't be lost. So when you start investing outside of your local area, the lower the cost of goods you can get compared to potential reward, the higher the chances that you'll come out as a winner. The real trick is developing the skill to know how low you can go on the price while still getting the quality that meets your standards.
As Warren Buffett said, price is what you pay, value is what you get. So your best bet is to learn how to find value and diversify your reselling portfolio to reduce your risk. Not all the items that we pick up will sell at the same rate at all times during the year. While there are definitely certain brands that we consider top shelf that consistently sell all year, most brands like UGG or Bearpaw will only sell in the colder half of the year. And vice versa, right now in the hotter parts of the year, we can't keep Keen or Chaco. They're selling like hotcakes.
Just because a brand only sells for a couple of months out of the year doesn't mean it's a bad brand.
We try to keep a macro look on our inventory, making sure that we have enough things that are selling in season while also picking up items that are off season, knowing that they are currently undervalued, but they will be strong in 3 to 6 months.
As an example, in the winter, Keens at our thrift stores are usually 99 cents.
Yeah, and we picked up, I want to say, around 120 pairs over the winter, and we sold 2 in a bundle today. And since the beginning of April, we've probably sold 80 pairs.
Now, mind you, we are in Texas, so finding winter boots is a little bit harder. But when we do find them here right now, they're around $2 to $4 a pair.
So you just have to know what your regional advantages are and figure out what is being undervalued where it could be really valuable in another part of the country or in another season. That's pretty much everything that we were thinking about when it comes to value investing. So I figured we would move on to our sales numbers for the week. So for the week of June 6th to June 20th, 2012, we sold a total of 54 items. Our total active items right now are 1,137. Our total sales were right around 2,300, and our total cost of goods were right around 1,100. So our total net profit was a little above 1,100. Our average sales price per item this week was $42. While we did get that bulk buy of 300 pairs that came in yesterday, we only managed to get 25 pairs listed this week.
So knowing that these 300 pairs were coming in, we had to sort of reevaluate our living situation, for lack of a better word. Things were getting a little chaotic around here, so I decided rather than focusing on listing like I had originally planned, that I would take that energy and focus on reorganizing everything in the house to try to better utilize our space to deal with the incoming inventory.
We knew that these boxes were coming in and we are already reaching our limit in the house and have started to take over the garage, but I still think it's worth going through our house and reorganizing everything to be more efficient in the hopes that we can keep working out of our house for the rest of this year and not have to go get a storage unit. I'm really trying to avoid getting a storage unit as long as I possibly can because I just don't think it's a good idea for us right now.
We had looked into the costs around here, and converting our garage saves us around $600 a month. So we made the decision to do that. Tangent aside, moving on to our sales breakdown. So Poshmark, we had 30 sales for around $1,100. Mercari, we had 4 sales at $185. And eBay, we had 20 sales at almost $1,000.
So Poshmark and Mercari for us, at least for the past 6-7 weeks that we've been doing this show, has been very consistent. You know, eBay, we see anywhere from, 18 to 25 pairs pretty consistently every week, which I think is great. You know, Mercari has just been dead for us. We're trying to figure out some new method to try to bring it back to life. And if we find something, we will obviously tell you guys. But right now, it's just been not working for us. So we're looking into how to hopefully fix that. So what usually makes it or breaks it for us every week is how well Poshmark does. So last week, for instance, we had 55 sales on Poshmark for almost double the total sales. And this week, obviously, we only had 30. So this is what I consider an average week, and it seems to fluctuate between an average week and a great week. So I'm hoping that next week is obviously better. But like I said, we're still doing a lot of organizing. So I'm hoping that we can finish all that in the next week and then really buckle down and get to listing high amounts because we have all these shoes that need to be processed now and we're falling a little behind.
So moving into customer issues, I'm not sure if you guys remember, but a little while back we had talked about this pair of Saucony Triumphs that came back to us because there was a pair of socks, I guess, stuffed in them, which all of that aside, they came back and we resold them. And I was like, yes, awesome. We sent them on their merry way and now they're being returned again because they didn't fit this lady.
Yeah, so this is going to be the second time that we've sold this pair almost the same day that we've listed them. And now for the third time on eBay, they're coming back to us. I just think at this point that they're a cursed pair that we're never going to be able to get rid of.
They have some serious bad juju around them. And I think I just need to like set them outside, have an exorcist come in and take care of it.
Anyway, other than that one pair on eBay, it's been a really quiet week for returns, which is great. I like having stress-free week. It lets us really focus on what we care about.
Although I will say this, there was one other thing that I just thought about. There was another pair of Sauconys that we had sent out to a buyer who had given us the wrong address, and we knew they were coming back. I'm not sure if you guys remember us bringing that up, but they just came back on Saturday as well.
Yeah, so we've reached out to Poshmark for the newer label and we'll send them back out again probably Monday morning. Moving on from that, our best sales for the week, we had one from each platform, which was pretty interesting. On Poshmark, we sold a pair of Jordan Trainer 1 low infrared grays. They were a men's size 13 that we bought for $20. We did pay up for them. This was a pair that we had gotten from doing an online buy and they ended up selling for $65. So we got a net of $32.
On Mercari, we sold a pair of Asics Nimbus 15s. We bought them for $10 and they sold for $65. So that was a net of around $41. As a side note, I'm not a huge fan of Asics, but these were a really nice color. So I totally get why someone would buy them. Because as soon as I put them up, I was like, oh, these are going to sell. They were like black with this nice like pink highlight happening on them. Real good looking.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that, not to state the obvious, but a black pink colorway will always sell really well, at least in our experience.
They look really nice, so I totally get it.
The last pair that sold well for us this week was a pair of Nike Air Zoom Pegasus 32. They were women's size 9. We bought them for $10, and they sold for $62, so we had a net of $36.
So all in all, I'd say it was an excellent week for us with a lot of sales. But maybe next week, you know, it'll be all right too. We still have to do some organizing here, so I'm not too sure how everything's going to look, but we'll see.
I'm trying to give us a little bit of breathing room because we've been going at this breakneck speed for most of this year where we've just sort of put everything else to the side just to focus all of our free time on listing. And I'm trying to reel it in and I'm trying to get our house organized more efficiently so that it'll let us be more sustainable, because if we keep doing these bulk buys, there's not going to be any room in our house very quickly. Like, we're already at our limit almost. So I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of A Thrifted Pair Podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen to us talk about value investing and how we think about sourcing and the risks involved. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. You can talk to us directly on Instagram. Mine is @LittleElmGoods.
And mine is @LittleElmThrift.
Until next time, see ya.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.